they were talking a little bit about a story coming out of the book of Acts. And we've talked about this study being called The Jailer's Journey. And it's pretty hard to follow up 5 strong sermons like that. I come up here and we've just heard these testimonies. And it's not only testimony, but we will head down the road for baptisms to happen in a little while. And it's exciting. The visual act of declaring death to life. That we have 5 people standing up here declaring that is the greatest sermon that we could give on a morning, and we're going to make it another testimony of that. We're going to make it the testimony of this jailer this morning, who came to faith and was baptized, dead to sin, alive in the newness and forgiveness of Jesus Christ as Savior. This week, we also said an earthly goodbye to our dear Gib Ryan, a man with a testimony of Christ's love and tenderness. Today he experiences this newness of life to the fullest as he steps face to face with Jesus Christ. We rejoice in his belief and his trust in Jesus. Yes, our hearts are saddened, our eyes are filled with tears, and that's okay. But as Paul says to the Thessalonian church, we do not mourn as those without hope. Though the hurt is real, especially for Rose in these days, we think about Rose and the children there. Keep them in your prayers as we continue to connect with them. And there will be more details on the celebration of life, forgive, and what that looks like in the coming days. It's looking like it'll be towards the end of the month, but we will send out details shortly about that. Again, we see temporary departure in death, but alive in new life, alive in eternity, in the promises that comes in Jesus' words in John 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. From this time and over the years, in the past short while, we reflect on many who have left us in death. We remember that today. All of us here today are experiencing grief to certain degrees with people we have lost dear to us. We're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit and the comfort that is given through Him. And today, as we worship, as we celebrate, as we mourn, we examine our own lives. We examine maybe our own baptism, and I want us all to journey along with a man coming to Christ in the midst of some very unlikely events. A jailer who's led to faith amidst overwhelming fear. And though I am taking a short break from the Gospel of Luke, we get the telling of Luke in Acts. So there we are continuing our series in Acts, but we are looking into this powerful, simple, beautiful story. So I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 34. And the majority of it will be on the screen for us. Acts 16, 25 to 34. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. I want to give this time to where we've come, what we are doing, and what Jesus does in us each and every day. Father, you are good, and I thank you for this time that we can celebrate. And yes, with us there's grief, there's mourning, there's memories, there's reflecting. but Lord, that we would reflect on who you are, on the newness of life that comes in you, in the comfort that comes from you, in the rest that comes from you, in the guidance that comes from you, Lord. What a privilege it is to honor you this morning, and Lord, that our worship would be a fragrant aroma to your throne. Lord, as we open your word, I pray that you would open our hearts and ears and minds to what you would have to say to us this morning. Amen. Starting in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Now, just for a little background, Acts 16 comes as Timothy is joining in on Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas and their companions in travel, they travel to Philippi. And as they're traveling, they're responding to this divine call to tell people about Jesus, to tell people about what he is doing, who he is, and why he is come, to repent. There they meet a woman named Lydia. Lydia is a wealthy merchant whose heart is opened by God, and she and her entire household are baptized. Soon after, Paul encounters a slave girl, and this slave girl was, it says that she is possessed in the sense that she is telling people's fortunes, in demonically possessed, that she is able to do this with a dark spirit within her. And Paul calls this out. And she's released from this evil spirit. She's released from this dark world. But that isn't too popular with the people who are in charge of this slave girl who's telling people's fortunes, but she's not the one getting the money. It's the people who own her, that she is a slave to these owners. And she is doing this and making them money. So Paul is now responsible for this. Paul and Silas are easy targets for what is going to happen, and they are put in prison. In prison now. When I was a kid, I had this, well, I still have it, but when I was a kid, it was this very precious thing. It was this leather keepsake pouch. And I had it in there, and in my leather keepsake pouch, no one would know what was in there. I had my arrowheads. I had some fool's gold in there. I don't know. I had a couple old coins. And I had this pouch, and it was tightly wrapped, and then it would go around and it had a little lock on it. That was mine. I kept that secret. I had all of these things that I would have in there. And unless I would untie them, and I'd go and I'd shake them out in my bed and have to shake them out. I know why that came to me this week. But many of my friends didn't even know what was in there. In Acts 16, God sends an earthquake. God sends an earthquake not to destroy, but to unlock. Not to destroy, but to unlock. There's no details of the prison falling in on these gentlemen and prisoners and killing everyone evil there. But to unlock, the prison doors fly open, the chains fall off, and the jailer's heart is cracked wide open. And what was locked in fear is now exposed. Do you know that sometimes God shakes us? He shakes us. There are things that come into our lives not to scare us, but to set us free. And the imagery here of shaking is exactly that. Sometimes we have these events in our lives that shake us to our core. This is the story of faith and repentance. We come to these points where we all have a choice to make. And baptism is this sign that once locked in fear has now been opened in faith. This visualization of repentance, this visualization of forgiveness and newness of life, dead to sin, alive in Christ, in his victory over sin. And today we celebrate that breakthrough. But I want to ask you, what's still locked inside you that God wants to shake loose? Here, we're literally talking about God shaking loose. He uses an earthquake to shake things loose, to shake things up a bit. He shakes both the physical, these doors are opening, the walls are shaking, things are crumbling, the doors open, and he's shaking the spiritual. He's shaking the heart of this jailer as he continues to work in there. And what is happening here? About midnight, you see these two guys, Paul and Silas. Now they've been convicted. They're in jail. They don't know if death is right around the corner. But what are they doing? In the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of this dark dungeon, remember it says later on in the text that the lights had to be turned on, in the midst of the dark dungeon that they are in locked up, let's sing. Let's pray. And then within this earthquake, and the guard is seeing all of this, he comes awake, he knows what's going on, and he knows these doors are open, and now he's about to take his own life. And there, that was a point of honor, that this was a failure, this was what happened, and they would fall on their sword, and they would die as their last form of some dignity in the situation. But as he's considering that, as he's in this lowly state, do not harm yourself! Do not harm yourself! There is a truth, there is a reason to live. Do not harm yourself. And you can see that God is already working in this jailer's life. And right away, as he falls to his knees, what must I do? What must I do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's simple. He lays it out. You have come. You have repented. You are there. You're lying before. You have realized that there is this emptiness, this fear, and you have given it over. And so that same night, it talks about his whole household coming to Christ because he was the head of that household. He was the leader in that, and in that, the rest of his family is coming to Christ. Not that his faith is now his family is in eternity with Jesus, but that they came individually to this in his leadership, and they were baptized in that. We celebrate belief, we celebrate baptism, and we celebrate it in community. He brings them into his house, he sets food before him, he rejoices along with his entire household. They believed in God. that is what today is all about. It's about celebration. A celebration that started with a life-changing question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. John 11 says, Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to them, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. This is the confession that the jailer is making. This is the confession and the proclamation that these five have just given us this morning. But it starts with repentance. When we realize that something is drastically wrong. When we cannot fathom an answer. When we finally ask direction. When we finally admit that we cannot do it alone. When we plead. When we cry. When we pray. Or do we deny it all? Do we deny that hand of salvation? My plan isn't to drag this out. Like I say, we've heard some pretty powerful preaching already, and it wasn't on my behalf. But I do want you to think, and I want you to reflect deeply on three truths from this powerful message of the jailer coming from fear to faith. And that first thing I want us to realize is that we must confess that fear. Confess your fear. The jailer, he's living in control. The jailer has complete control of the situation, doesn't he? Prisoners are all locked up. Lights are off for the evening. Done my duty. Probably was a little rougher with them than needed to be. Everyone's where they need to be. He knows the program. He knows his orders, what he's to carry out. And there is security in that until this earthquake hits. Yet something was moving in him. Was it the truth that he's listening to Paul and Silas? He's listening to these prayers from the moment that he imprisons them, that he puts the shackles on them. He's listening to their words. And what does it look like? He's afraid of failure. He's afraid of punishment. He's afraid of death. He's driven by this. I think so many of us are driven by this exact same attitude that we have it all together, that we have everything going until I fail. God can't use me. Just let me give up and leave me alone. And we're so good at keeping it all inside. We're good at it. We're good at putting on a good face. We're good at not being vulnerable. And maybe that involves being hurt in the past, but our fears hide our deepest need for God. Consider the helplessness that immediately overwhelms the jailer after this earthquake. He goes from a secure, peaceful, everyone's locked up, to dying on a sword. To death, considering death. Consider the fear with which we get overwhelmed with. Consider that. We all know it. And maybe it's failure. Maybe it's a bad decision that we've made. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's obsessive anxiety. Maybe it's grief. To be set back and realize the weight of a given state. And these moments, they come in our lives. They come. But where do we go with them? Where do we go with them? In this world, we will have trouble. But take heart that Christ has overcome. We don't need to keep hiding it all, but we need to confess it to God. Contrasted with these singing prisoners, Paul and Silas are in this very destitute state. They don't know if they're being put to death. They don't know their future. And in the midst of it, they're praying. They're singing, crying to God. How do we respond to the earthquakes that come into our lives? How do we respond? Fear hides us from God, but grace finds us in the dark. And today, I would ask you this. Is there fear that you're hiding behind? Because I have fear in my life that I've always kept very close to myself. Just like those things in my little leather satchel. But it's things that we're vulnerable about. Things that we think that other people won't understand. That we would confess that to God. That fear hides us from God, but grace finds us in the dark. Are you living like the jailer, secure on the outside but trembling within? What would happen if your floor trembled today and the earthly security were all taken away? And it happens. It happens. So many of you could give testimony to the fact that it happens completely out of our control. But that we would find freedom in faith. The jailer here in verse 27, he's about to fall on his sword, but Paul cries out in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Don't give up, he says. Don't give up. And in his brokenness, he asks the most important question, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul doesn't give religion. He gives relationship. He gives relationship. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith doesn't begin when we have it all together, does it? Faith begins when we admit that we don't. Are you willing to let God meet you in your brokenness, in your fear? Baptism isn't for the perfect. It's for the surrendered. Baptism isn't for the perfect. It's for the surrendered. It is for those who have found a new life in Christ, from death in sin to life in Him. That came to me this week, and it has a ring to it. But it's true. Life in Him, and not just the here and the now, but the here and the now and all that is to come. The eternal. That we would be with Him in freedom. Freedom isn't earned by good works or perfect religion or checking all these boxes and hiding what we're actually going through. That isn't faith. Freedom is received by trust. Freedom is surrendered, and faith isn't a feeling. It's a decision to act, to rely and act on Christ alone. In His forgiveness. In His cleansing blood on the cross. And baptism is the public declaration of that. And I hope you're catching the theme here. If you have never turned from fear to faith, do it now. And may your fear be silenced in faith. And if you have made the decision, ask God to deepen your reliance on Him today. And as we do this, may we rejoice together and tell the story. This jailer's faith, it becomes this celebration, and their testimony echoed beyond the prison walls. Our faith is meant to be shared. I hope that's not new news to you this morning. Our faith, our story of Christ in us, is meant to be shared with those around us. Joy multiplies when it's communal, and it usually involves a meal when you have things like this, and it Today it involves some watermelon and fritters. So join us for the celebration of baptism at the lake. We share with others. We share birthdays. We share holidays, baptism, communion, weddings, funerals. We share together the life of the church, the life of the body. That we share deep-seated joy, no matter the circumstance, of what Christ has accomplished from death to victory in sin, victory over sin and death. Today we've heard five testimonies. We've heard five testimonies of Christ making new life. Well, ultimately, I guess we've heard six. We've heard the jailer's testimony this morning as well. And that is exciting that we can see this testimony, that we can see and hear this declaration and the difference that faith has made, what it has made, and the difference that it will make in Jesus Christ. Just as the jailer believes, his family also comes to faith. Share our story of rescue. Maybe it's just admitting that rescue is needed. Sometimes it's hard, just like it's sometimes hard for me to ask for directions if I'm lost. And as we chuckle, like, I have a GPS, I have these things, but I know where I'm going, right? Until I don't. We laugh at those, but we are all in need of rescue. Remember, faith is about freedom. Faith is about freedom and not condemnation and judgment. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture comes in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And that's, God does not give the spirit of fear. But what does he give? He gives the power of love. He gives power. He gives love. And he gives, there's many different ways that this verse is put in different translations. Some say that he does not give the spirit of timidity. You can't get that confused with Timothy. Timidity. He gives the spirit of self-control. Self-discipline. Some translations put it that he gives a sound mind. We celebrate with one another. We celebrate with one another. Not an end, but as a beginning. The jailer washes the wounds, receives baptism, and celebrates faith with his household. His story becomes a testimony, not just because of personal salvation, but of a household transformation. If you've been baptized, are you telling the story? Are you telling that story? Are you living like someone who's been set free? Or are you still gripped by fear? What must you do? Believe in God and be saved. Tell the story. Tell the story. How do we tell the story? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Live it out. Today, some are stepping into the waters of baptism. But all of us are called to step out. To step out of the fear. To confess the fear that is in our lives into faith. Into the joy of telling our story. In the joy of telling that story. In the joy of being vulnerable. In the transformation that comes in our lives. And it doesn't mean all of our problems are going to be solved and all of our woes taken away. But it gives us hope in the way that we tell our story. It gives us hope in the way that we are able to bring these things to the freedom of Jesus Christ. That we can bring this to the foot of the cross. That we can be a support and be supported by one another as we are children of God, sharing one another's burdens. Don't just remember your baptism. Live it. Live it. As we journey with the Philippian jailer today, we see a powerful pattern. First, the raw confession of fear. Then the simple act of trusting Jesus. And finally, the uncontainable joy of a life set free. His midnight crisis became the dawn of new faith. And his testimony went through his entire household. And so today, take a moment. Let that transformation sink in. Fear exposed brings faith. And faith unleashed brings community. Let's pray. Father, you are good. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your story in our lives. Amen. At this time, we'll call the singers up for a closing song. And then after that, you can follow the convoy out on the 307. And we're going to head to Dorothy Beach for a baptism. Well, not a baptism. Present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. to the only God, our Savior. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord, and come for some baptisms and watermelon and fritters down the road. 307.